Hey, Rick.
You want to come up here in case you got comments? Have a mic?
You don't want to say anything.
Okay.
You just remember, if you do, you have to walk up here now.
Okay.
That's reassuring, though. The meeting will be shorter now. We good, Jim?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, call our meeting to order. Welcome, Mr. Parent.
Good morning.
Some information, looks
commissioners.
Like.
My purpose for meeting with you this morning is to explain what the Taney County Airport Board chose as action for this their last airport board meeting. In particular, the airport board and I, plan to do to curtail the economic decline and how it affects the airport over the last 2 years. If you will turn to page 2 of the handout I gave you, it shows the accrual basis P&L, or profit and loss statement, for the month of September. It shows the airport with a net loss of $1,027. That's just for the financial report for the month. $1,026.85 is not frightening. But of course, we've had several net losses to report in the previous months, mostly because we built a hangar. But since we've seen several of those this year, we believe it's important to address our trend. Next page shows our quarterly, excuse me, since September is a quarter report. I'm showing the three quarters of the year here. And the purpose for this and what we discussed at the airport board meeting were, number one, the net loss for the first quarter of $406,214.30 and how it relates to our expenditures for capital improvements over the same period. If you scan up to the capital improvements line, you'll see capital improvements for that period. The reason we say capital improvements because that includes discretionary areas of spending, such as the hangar that we built, moving of fuel farms and such, things that we had the choice of not doing. $409,921.87, which actually shows, absent of the capital improvements, a net return for that quarter of around $3,000 or $4,000. So even though that's a net return, a positive return, it's still nothing to brag about for an entire quarter. The second quarter shows a net loss of $102,703.93 compared to its capital improvement line of $103,786.42. Still would indicate, absent of capital improvements, a net return, very minimal, but a positive return for that quarter. And then our current quarter, the third quarter, shows a net loss of $27,290.45 for that period. Now, this included August, our insurance premium month of $30,000. It also included capital improvements of $8,361 combined, which would indicate that absent of those two particular hits over that quarter, we would also have a net return for that quarter. Nothing that we're interested in bragging about, but it shows that it's not a catastrophic thing that's happening here. They are capital improvement issues are primarily our problem. But we also know that there are two indicators that we've recognized that have affected us over the two-year period. The first year, 2008, we noticed a decline in actual gallons sold of gasoline. We believe that we're directly related to the severe increase in fuel prices over that year. Aviation gasoline went over almost $5 a gallon for that period. It's declined somewhat now. But we saw a reaction to gasoline-burning aircraft, mostly personally owned aircraft, because of the price of fuel in that year. We noticed also our turbine customers stayed relatively stable during that period. Even though the costs were skyrocketing for fuel, turbine customers are primarily corporate or business aircraft, and they continued to travel regardless. The next year, 2009, this spring, we've seen a continued decline, but not in gasoline. Our gasoline customers they stabilized from last year. So even though our attendance and our gasoline sales have not increased, from the year prior, they haven't continued to decline. They've stabilized. However, our turbine customers declined drastically this particular year, the second year. We believe that the causal factor for that is the opening of BBG, or the Branson Airport, 8 miles south of town. For a two-month period, we saw a total loss of our turbine customers. And then, of course, after some period of time, and after that two-year period, we started getting a lot of those customers back, primarily turboprop customers. And so we think that we're probably, we've regained maybe 40% of those. We'll have to see that, how that goes next year. Nevertheless, there are two indicators that caused, we believe, a two-year decline in addition to the general economic decline and attendance in Branson in particular. Attendance is down. We've all seen those reports, and that affects the airport as well. So if you'll turn to the next period, there's a graph showing our net returns on an accrual basis. They're only so we can see a visual picture of how our business parallels itself seasonally. If we begin in January, you can see that January and February tend to hold their own, and then there's a rise in March, a general rise, except for if you see 1 year where it dips, it's because we invested in something. We had two or three big investments early. One was extending electrical service to the western end of the airport, if you remember that. Another was building a road to the west end of the airport. So those were capital improvement items, and they caused dips. But generally, we can see the trend of these seasons, these months, paralleling each other. And then in June, there's a general rise, and then it holds its own in July, and we always see the dip in August where our insurance premium is. When we looked at this graph, we believed that, well, there's no reason to immediately for our blood pressure to shoot up. In the 2009 period, of course, we see a great big decline in all areas. That's because we built a hangar during that period. And you can see that our last draw on the hangar was in June. And in July, our net return shot back up. It was $1,000, I think, July. No, in July, I think we had a $202 net gain for that month, I believe. So nevertheless, we do see a trend that we're not willing to accept over the last 2 years because of the opening of the airport south, because of the skyrocketing price of fuel in 2007 and 8, and because of the general economic decline. So we looked at what we can do to fix that. The next page merely indicates all of our gallons sold and how they relate to each other. You can see that for the nine-month period, over to the right on the next page, all the way to the right, for the nine-month period to date, our total fuel sales are down 10.2% against the year before, against last year. You'll notice just to the left of that, our jet fuel sales are down 21.34%. Excuse me, the 100 low lead, or the gasoline sales, are only down 0.2%. They're holding their own. And so that's where we are right now. And that's in addition to last year's 16.4% decline in gallons sold for other indicators, other reasons, but nevertheless, a continued decline in fuel sales. This year, our gasoline sales are holding their own, and we feel pretty comfortable about that. We think as the economy stabilizes, we'll probably see a return in some of those sales 2 years ago. Okay, the next page is probably your last page. We'll indicate what the board did to correct this.
I don't have a last page.
You don't?
That's right, I'll share.
Okay.
Good.
Commissioner Strahan, you have a last
one.
Page?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry about that.
That's right.
If you look at the upper left, 2007, under hangar income, that's dollars. That's our hangar income alone in 2007 in dollars. Straight below that is our tie-down, our overnight parking income in dollars. Below that is our gallons sold of jet fuel in 2007. And below that is our gallons sold of gasoline, 100 low-lead gasoline for that year. 2008 is similar, the same thing, dollars, dollars, gallons, and gallons. 2009 is the same thing through the month of September and projected to the end of the year based on the previous year's records. The reason we do this is to actually get an empirical listing of what our two-year decline is. So the next column under two-year trend, you can see that our hangar income has grown over that two-year period by $15,297. It's an increase in that two-year time period. Below that, we have a net loss or a decline, not loss, a decline of $11,015 in overnight parking or tie-down income. This is primarily because of reduced attendance, but some of it is also because some of the increase in hangar income is due to people that we're paying by the month outdoors moving indoors. Mm. So the tie-down income, some of it went to the hangar. Over that two-year period, most of that's probably most recently, too, since we completed hangar construction. Below that, we can see that we have a decline of 18,533 gallons of jet fuel at a today's average value of $58,750. And below that, a decline of 16,573 gallons of 100 low-lead gasoline at a today's value of $67,784. The next column shows our average today's cost. Our average today's cost, which when we subtract that, we see what our actual net decline would be in revenue. The under jet fuel, our in dollars, our return has declined $20,016. Our 100 low-lead gasoline has declined, our return on that has declined $16,904, for a total of $36,920 over a two-year period. It's not really as large as we might have thought it was going to be at first. And then the right-hand column factors in the net gain, the net increase in income for hangars, $15,297, and the net decline of overnight income of $11,015, which gives us a net two-year decline of $32,638. Annualized or divided by two is really $16,319 annually that we see that we're down in revenue. It's not frightening like we thought it would be, and it's based on actual gallons sold and actual dollars. So it's not, other than the 3-month projected period for 2009, it's really not variable. It's actual money. So we know that we have a $16,319 apparent decline, and we wanted to erase that, so we looked at our options. The easiest one that we could deal with is listed below that in option one. It's also the most flexible, and it's really taking care of itself already now. What it entails is replacing one lost employee with a part-time employee and not replacing another employee. Now to digress just a touch, or actually change the topic a little, Mr. Mason, Donald Mason, is one of our staff members. He's turning 80, and he's decided to quit and retire. And so he's doing that at the end of this month. Mr. Jim Davis chose to leave us last month, and we replaced him with Mr. Michael Gibbs as a part-time employee. And so that's where we are now, staff-wise. If we look at under Mr. Mason in that option one, we can see that by not replacing Mr. Mason, we have an apparent net gain of his annual salary, $14,000, what we paid him generally in the last several years. And under Mr. Davis, we would have a net gain, apparent gain of $17,000, and then by hiring Mr. Gibbs, if we hold him at 1,468 hours, then we would pay him $14,681. These three factors, these components, give you, if you scan to the right, it gives us a balance of zero. That factor wipes out the $16,319 annual net decline. It takes us back to where we were 2 years ago, and I think we all know that we were pretty proud of our revenue 2 years ago.
Right.
Option two does, of course, the same thing, since option one is already in place. Option one is already in place. We've already done that by normal attrition. Option two merely allowed the board the ability to look at what we could do with a couple other ideas on increasing our fees. My recommendation was not to go with option two. Increasing fees, in my opinion, or something, if we decide we need to do it, it should probably be done when we think we need to during better times. But during economic decline and times are already kind of rough, unless we have to do that, I would not be in favor of it, and they agreed. So we did not go with increasing any fees, but staying where we are currently with our staff situation. The only other thing that we have to do, the one other factor we have to do, is we have to decrease our hours, our staff hours, by 2 hours each day. Going into winter is a perfect time to do that, and because the days are already shorter, it'll be getting dark about 5-ish. And then it's also the most flexible way, the way we can, if revenue starts flowing again next year, it's easier to staff up than to go down on fees, increase fees and things. So it's a very flexible way to fix the problem, we thought. And that's what we did. That's what the board voted on.
Question for Mark?
I just got a few. Good. I'm glad you addressed it. I'm glad that you guys had a plan already. A couple things. Obviously, the turbine jet sales, the jets fuel sales is down for it was a year ago, and BBG, we think, is part of the reason. Do you see us ever getting back to where we were, or are we going to expect like a 20% less than year over year?
I don't see us ever returning to the previous jet fuel sales okay. that we had experienced. We had the exclusive opportunity to sell jet fuel in the Branson-Hollister area before the opening of the new airport. The new airport has taken quite a bit of the turbine business that we had because they have a longer runway.
Sure.
And primarily the jets. But some of the turboprops we get back, and then a lot of the turboprops we get back, we don't sell them fuel even then. They come to us because we don't charge a $400 landing fee. And if they didn't want to buy fuel, they didn't want to pay $400 either, then they use our services. Our airport is suitable for 95% of the turbine business that needs the Branson-Hollister area. It's always has been. The other percentage used to go to Harrison.
Right.
But some of them, other than virtually all of the Branson-bound Harrison business that probably goes to BBG now, other than that, some of our customers will go there anyway. Because their jets, they benefit by a longer runway,
sure.
even if they don't necessarily have to have it.
The only other thing I was going to ask you is, our utilities seem really, really high. Is that just because of the new hangar, or that's the only other large expense I saw in there, utilities?
Rather than me look at it, what can you say it is? Is it about $3,500 each month?
Well, no, utilities, July, well,
I'll turn
yeah, 3,500, you're right, 3,500
to 4,000. We usually spend about $3,500 a month to Empire District Electric Company for
okay.
electricity. And that's heating, air conditioning, primarily, those two things, and lighting. And it doesn't really vary. When we switch from air to heat, it doesn't seem like to me. It may vary a little bit.
Okay.
And it's pretty high to me, and I think when I look at some of these photographs of New York City all lit up, and I know what we're spending on electricity, I can't imagine what it must cost to generate all that stuff. But, yeah, I would love to pull that number down some, too, if
right.
we found ways. Of course, our largest expenditure has always been payroll.
Right.
And it seems to be this was painless for us because we're not having to lay anyone off.
Right.
This normal attrition helped us at this time, and it should erase what we have seen over a two-year period. At least for now, and if things correct themselves next year, then it's easy to replace that.
No effect in the cutting services with the
no.
cutting?
No, sir.
Okay.
We will reduce our staff hours by about 2 hours each day. We have opened, or we staffed at 7 a.m., and we opened the doors at 8 a.m., and then we close the doors at 6 p.m. and we would leave at 7 p.m. That hour, what we did use that for was inspecting fuel trucks, generating our log sheets, and then in the last hour we would put aircraft away, lock hangers, kind of like what you see in a restaurant where they make the coffee before they open the doors and stuff. But we will not be doing that. We will our apparent hours will still remain 10 hours each day to the customer. And by reducing our time, our staff time, we're not reducing our availability time to our customer.
What's the interest, Mark, on this last quarter, $1,891? There's no interest paid on the two previous quarters.
Not on quarters. We began to pay interest when we completed hangar construction. That's apparent interest we're paying back to the taxpayer for the building of the hangar.
The capital improvement.
That began in August, last month. We completed our hangar construction, took our last draw in June. We began making our apparent interest premiums in August, I believe it was. It was 947, I think, in August, and you can see under September, $944 in apparent interest we're paying back to the taxpayer on for September.
Gotcha.
And it's calculated on what our reported net loss is for the period.
I'm with you.
Gotcha. That's all I had.
Is that the...
Yes.
And that percentage is...
apparently it is, in numbers.
3.5% or something like that.
3.5%, 4%.
Is it 3.5% or 4% you're paying back the...
3% is what 3% is what the commission indicated to me.
Right.
And that's what we're calculating is 3%.
I couldn't remember on that. But it was.
We plan on ending that when we get above a net apparent net loss of $100,000.
Yeah.
Is that it?
That's okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you
for the report.
Any questions of the public? And we scheduled Mark for 8:30 this morning, if you're wondering how come we're already meeting.
Because he has to get back and run an airport.
So. There you go.
Okay.
See Thanks,
ya.
Mark. All right, we'll take just a minute or so break here.
A minute break or something.
Get our regular meeting going.
Where's Paulson?
He came and left.
I know, I saw that.